David or Chuck, any word from Lindsay or Dean? I don't see them on.
No word from them. I guess we have 2 minutes until
we do. We'll give them a few more. We'll give them a few more minutes here. Okay.
Do we want to try putting a phone call in to either of them? I don't know. Just an idea.
Yeah. Dean.
I see Dean. Dean's on. Looks like he's getting on now. Hi, Dean.
Okay.
Yeah, David, would you check with Lindsay quickly while we...
Absolutely.
I'm going to go ahead and get things started here, though.
Okay.
You would mute yourself, David. Thank you.
Yes. Before I go make the... Oh.
Lindsay's on.
Lindsay's on.
Okay. All right. Well, let me call the meeting to order then. Calling to order the October 21st, 2020 meeting of the Derry Township Zoning Hearing Board. I want to make everyone aware that it is and has been the policy of Derry Township to record meetings for the purpose of accurate notes and posting on the township website. This meeting is being recorded for those purposes. Chuck or David, have you started the recording?
Yes, the recording has been started.
Thank you very much. So let me first do a roll call. Sandy Ballard, you're on mute. Sandy, you got to unmute.
Here.
Thank you. Lindsay Drew.
Here.
Dean Morgan.
Here.
Mike Angelo.
Here.
And I'm here, Steve Seidel. Okay. First item up is the approval of the minutes from the September 16th, 2020 meeting. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. Okay. David, before we get into the next item of business, was there something else you needed to add?
I'd just like to add that due to the COVID-19 pandemic, we have been holding meetings via Zoom. We have made the link publicly available through the newspaper and on our website. We will continue to do so until such time it is safe to meet in groups in person. But the township has gone through every effort to make this meeting as accessible as possible for the members of the public. With that said, we do have one attendee tonight, Don Lewis. Don, if you would like to speak, if you raise your hand, I'm keeping an eye on that. We will call you in at the appropriate time for when you would like to speak. And with that, that is all I have at this moment, Steve.
Okay, thank you, David. So there's just one attendee that's not showing on the video, then. Is that
correct?
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, so we have one item of old business that was continued from the prior meeting. That's the case of Robert J. and Diane T. Sermonera. Am I saying that correctly?
Correct.
Okay, didn't do too badly then. All right. So David's sharing the application here. Okay. So let me swear in the applicants. Will both of you be providing testimony tonight? And is there anyone else here with you that is going to be providing any testimony?
No, sir, just the two of us.
Okay. So let me swear you in first. This is a hearing, and I need to swear you in here. So if you both raise your right hand, please. And do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, you can proceed with presenting your case.
Our request is for a variance on the setback of our property line to construct a two-car garage freestanding on the opposite side of our driveway from our home. And David, thank you for sketching that out. We need variance. What we're requesting is variance of 10 feet, which from the street, and 5 feet from our side property line, which is the northeast side of our property.
Did the staff review with you the factors that we take into consideration? I'm sorry.
Yeah. These would be the questions that I went through with you guys. Let me read them word for word instead of trying to remember, such as explain the unique physical characteristics.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you don't have to read them, David. We did receive the information and consider it. And I think probably if there are any questions, Sandy, maybe the best way I can describe it to you is by looking at the lot diagram again. What's hard to see is on the northwest side of our driveway, if you can see where it's Macadam driveway, on the other side of those bushes that are on the other side of that van, it's a sheer drop off. So when you look at the lot plan, you know, that probably would be the ideal place to put the garage, would be on that side, but it's a straight drop off. It goes straight down the hill, and that hill is really made up of a lot of fill soil, when the property or when the house was built, there was a lot of backfill there. And we had engineers come in and take a look at building there. And they said that it would be cost prohibitive to dig down deep enough to secure a foundation. So we thought where we have the existing macadam, where we have the little parking spot, would be our best bet to get it into that area where the ground is somewhat level. And it is a rather large lot, relatively speaking. So there's plenty of room between us and the neighbors. The neighbors are all fine with the extra 5 feet to the northeast side. And if you can see, again, that photograph is a good look because we're basically gonna build on that macadam parking spot there, and about half of that garden is what the structure will take up.
And what are the dimensions of the garage that you're looking to build?
24 wide and 20 feet deep. I'm sorry, 22 deep 22. And okay. 24 wide.
Okay.
Did you consider garages of any other dimensions?
We wanted to match our existing garage. So the front of these garage doors will be facing a track directly across from the side of our house where the existing two garage doors are. So we just wanted to kind of mimic and match that. And that's a 24 foot width. And that's why we chose a 24 foot width. We compromised from 24 by 24, which is the standard size for the garage, and cut back to 22. So that we would only have to ask for 5 feet instead of 7 feet.
And I'd like to add that is a standard size garage. If you get any smaller for what we need it for, we're going to be opening doors into cars in there. Yeah. We wouldn't get the room we needed to house the people we're building it for.
You know, I can tell you, being in the construction business, that a 24 by 24 is the standard size garage used 95% of the time. The other 5% would be 24 by 30. You don't see 20 by 20 garages, I'd say, past 1978. The very first case that I was on.
Hey, Mike. Mike, yeah. I'm gonna kind of cut you off. I'd like to. We shouldn't be editorializing at this point. We should be asking questions if you'd like.
Well, so my question is, why did you not consider a larger garage? And I guess you just I suppose you just answered that.
Yeah.
Given the size of the lot. Okay.
And we'd have to come further into the driveway, and then we were concerned about, making the turn into the existing garages at the house.
Okay. Makes sense.
I have a question for you. So as far as the front setback, what's the reason for requiring that as well as the side versus shifting that, back? It looks like the macadam extends a little bit further back.
Yeah, Steve. So like I said, if you look at the edge there on that corner, where those flowers are on that little rounded corner of the driveway, that drop off on the other side of the edge of the driveway, that drop off is about 20 feet. It goes straight down. It's literally like a cliff that the whole hillside drops off on the other side of the hedges there. So that's the reason why we can't move further to that northwest direction.
Northwest would be back on your lot. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. Right.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, I mean, for whatever it's worth, unfortunately, the house, you know, isn't in the best place for the lot. You know, the house was over, you know, shifted over to, you know, to the west a little more. You know, this would all be a moot point.
Okay.
Yeah, I think as Ms. Mallon said, there's you know, five criteria that need to be met. So do you want to continue on just addressing those for the record, please?
Where are we? Which number?
Maybe if you want to address, it looks like you've hit 1, 2, and 3. What about the character of the neighborhood?
Yeah.
You know, is this, this...
Well, we're going to, on the exterior is going to match the exterior of our home. We're matching siding. We're also going to replace our existing garage doors to match the new garage door. So, and the roof shingles are going to be exactly the same as our house. So, you know, I think that's kind of meets the criteria of, you know, not having something that sticks out like a sore thumb and, you know, will look like it belongs. Also, you know, where this structure is going to sit, it's pretty heavily wooded. And the street, if you've ever come up Fairdale Drive, it's one way. It's one way going in the. That's going to be, you know, the west direction, you know, so people may, you, driving by, you won't even see it. Is my point. You know, you're, when you drive by, it's almost going to be behind you. By the time you get to our driveway, that new structure is going to be behind you. So, and you know, it's gonna sit in there amongst the trees, you know, hardly be noticed.
And our neighbors who do live next to us, I believe there is a letter attached to our application that they wrote supporting the building of the structure. We talked to them before we made this request to make sure that they would not have any objection to it. They wrote a letter.
Will the construction require the removal of any of the trees that are there right now?
No, none.
Thank you.
And so this is the last one.
Mm-hmm.
What's it say?
It's a minimum size for a 2-car garage of this space.
Yeah. It's really so the, you know, one of the. You know, what I plan to do in this garage, I have a pickup truck that's going to be parked in there, and I'm also going to use it to store my fishing kayak. And the reason why I want to, you know, for personal reasons, I want to put it in there because currently I have my kayak stored in the rear of the house, and I have to wheel it, drag it, you know, from the back of the house up the hill to the driveway to get it loaded into the truck. What my plan is to actually put the hoist inside the driveway so that I can lower it and raise it, the kayak, inside the driveway, right in and out of the bed of the truck. And the reason why is because physically I'm just a few weeks out of cancer treatment, and physically I've been a little challenged with, you know, lifting that, and I'm hoping that you know, this will make that task a little easier for me whenever I do get to go back out and fish.
any other questions from I'm sorry, is there anything else you'd like to say before I open it up to questions?
I think we've covered everything in the application.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if we miss something, please let us know.
Questions from any of the board members?
No.
No, okay. Good, thanks.
Okay, not well, me. Thank you. Okay, well, thank you for coming tonight. The board has 45 days to render a decision and advise you. And then, you know, if you're agreed by that decision, then, you know, you have the right to appeal that.
We were under the
okay. Chuck, I think we have noticed a special meeting. Can we advise them of that if they haven't already?
That is correct.
So, I mean, we still legally have 45 days to respond, but we are trying to make an effort given the issue with the continuance in your case to try to act on this sooner. So we'll do the best we can. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Steve. We appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
Okay. I'm sorry. Was there before I close this out though? Was there anyone from the public on this item, David? You didn't flag me, so I kept rolling ahead. But was anyone from the public here on this call wanted to comment on this case? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on then to new business. All right. So our next item on the agenda of new business is hearing in the case of Frank and Karen Paris, case number 220-10. Who is here to testify on behalf of the applicants?
I'm here to testify also.
Yeah, this is Allison Ong Shruffler. She's the architect on our project.
Do you want her to talk first?
And she's here to answer any questions the board might have regarding dimensions and construction and architectural issues.
Introduce yourself.
Okay, great.
My name is Frank Paris. Well, this is my wife, Karen.
Frank and Karen Paris, as well as your architect, I'll need to swear you in. All three of you would please raise your right hand and repeat after me. Hold on, I got to get my script here to make sure I give the right words. Okay. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you are about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay, thank you. You may proceed.
Okay. I haven't done one of these before. I did one about 22 years ago. Do you just want me to read the application or the justification? Where do you want me to start?
Well, I mean, I can't speak for the other board members. I mean, I've read your application. Others may have or may not have, but obviously we don't want to miss anything important.
Okay.
So we want to make sure, you know, you need to present your testimony so we make the best decision we can for you, okay?
Okay, great. I'd like to start with the application then, if I can. Okay, we are at 1305 Edgewood Drive. It's a corner lot in Woodridge, a development named Woodridge Manor. I'm gonna need that a little bigger if you can get that. Could you blow that up a little bit? Thank you, that's wonderful. Thanks. It's a single family home. We've lived here for over 40 years. And our project, what we're asking for is a 2-foot variance on the front yard setback, in order to construct a 2-car garage and also to tie in the porch so that it aesthetically matches the expanded garage. It's part of a larger project that allows us, that will provide for us to age in place to be in our home as long as we possibly can without resorting to assisted living. At this point, you see the corner lot. And what we're talking about is this front area where the walkway is in the front of the house. And what we're seeking to do is to expand our current garage 6 feet, our single car garage 6 feet. We're requesting a 2 foot variance because we're 4 feet away from the setback line. This would give us a garage that's 22 feet wide by 19 and a half feet deep. And would allow us to have access to our cars, our vehicles, without having to go outside as we do now. I think I'd like to read the justification that I put forth, if that's all right with you guys. Or okay, so we're requesting, chasing it around. We're requesting a granting of a 2 foot setback variance over a distance of 32 feet, 4 1/4 inches. The total variance area would be 64.7 square feet. The purpose of the request is to expand our existing garage and front porch to accommodate 2 cars, property maintenance equipment, and provide for future needs of our future needs. To tie in the existing front porch with the expanded garage, to maintain the aesthetic quality of our home. The objective of our project is the garage expansion is part of a larger home remodeling project to alter the house to accommodate our future needs based on our desire to age in place and remain at 1305 Edgewood Drive for the rest of our lives. The proposed project includes 2 areas of enlargement and improvement, and that's there's a floor plan in Exhibit 1. The first area includes the addition to the rear of our home to include an enlarged kitchen and a breakfast area. Where are we? And a master bedroom. Here, I can follow it better over here.
Yeah, I put up the blueprint from that. That way, even. That way they can see it as you read.
Right. So the project scope includes 2 areas of enlargement. The first area includes an addition to the rear of our home to include an enlarged kitchen, breakfast area, laundry room, office, and first floor master bedroom suite to accommodate accessibility requirements and clearances. This is not a part of the variance requested. The second proposed area is a 6 feet enlargement of our existing garage. The existing garage is currently 16 feet, 7 inches wide, and the variance request is to allow for 2 feet of the proposed 6 foot expansion over the length of the garage to encroach into the front yard setback. The proposed garage will accommodate our changing needs as we age. First, the larger garage would allow for a weather protected access to our vehicles, reducing the need to be exposed to inclement weather and to travel independently. Second, it would provide storage for property maintenance equipment such as snow blowers, lawnmowers, leaf blowers, etc. In addition, the 2-car garage would be able to provide space for using wheelchairs or specialized vehicles should the need arise. It would provide parking for caregivers, either professionals or family members, if in-home care is necessary. The width of the garage would be extended 6 feet over 20 feet, 3 3/4 inch length of the garage, but 4 feet of that is within the width of the setback. Thus, we require the 2 foot variance. For aesthetic continuity, the proposed design includes extending the roofline of the garage to include the front porch. This is like the way it is today on our current home. The variance request also includes the front porch roofline and results in a 32-foot, 4-inch length by 2 feet width. You can look at Exhibit 2 on that one if you wanted to see where we're... Yeah. So this is the existing property, the survey that we had done to ascertain the appropriate distance that we would need the variance for. And we're talking about the walkway in the front of the house that runs along the front, the Edgewood side of the house.
You can't turn the garage.
Most of the houses exit the garage on Edgewood Drive. We have a fire hydrant in the front yard so that if we turn the garage, it would impinge on the fire hydrant. Actually, we put the fire hydrant almost in the, probably in the driveway. So here we go. Okay. Okay. A stormwater management plan will need to be developed because of the impervious coverage exceeds the 5% area limit. An engineering firm will be retained for approval by the township. So as far as our situation, we're both 72 years old. We're 44 year residents of Derry Township, and we purchased our home in 1981, have resided there continuously for nearly 40 years. We raised our two sons in the home, and we retired in 2014 after long and successful careers. Our home is located at the corner of Edgewood Drive, Green Hill, on a 0.4 acre lot. It's a two-story colonial with a driveway on Green Hill Drive. Impervious coverage is 2,991 square feet, including driveway and walkway. There is a fire hydrant located on Edgewood in front of the garage portion of the home near the corner of Green Hill. We have made two major reservations to our home. First, in 1992, a 200 square foot addition in the back of the house to expand the kitchen and create a first floor office. Decking was added adjacent to the expanded kitchen. New window siding gutters were added. The second renovation was in 2002 when a house fire destroyed the kitchen and major damage to the rest of the home. This renovation consisted of constructing a second deck over the patio behind the family room and adding a granite wood-burning fireplace in the family room with the attendant chimney on the Green Hill side of the house. In 2011, we installed a geothermal heat pump over the course, and over the course of the 40 years we've lived here, 22 additional trees have been planted on the property. We've been blessed with generally good health. We exercise daily. We do our own yard work, handle our own snow removal. However, we recognize as we enter into the later stage of life that aging will reduce our physical capabilities. This project is designed to reduce or even eliminate the need to leave our beloved home for assisted living environment. Woodridge Manor. Our neighborhood is known as Woodridge Manor. It can be described as a quiet suburban neighborhood consisting of four streets, Edgewood, Green Hill, Julianne, and Woodridge. There are 61 homes on these four streets. The predominant house style is colonial, is 25 homes, although the development includes bi-levels, 6, split levels, 9, and ranch style homes, 8 ranch style homes as well. The original development was expanded by extension of Edgewood, Woodridge, and Julianne to accommodate 14 luxury homes at the interior fringe of the development. 95% of all the homes on these four streets have either a 2 or 3 car garage. 1305 is the only, Edgewood is the only two-story home with a 1 car garage. Therefore, a 2 car garage does not present any material change to the character of the neighborhood other than enhancing it. Homes in Woodridge Manor vary in distance from the street, lending to a pleasant sense of diversity to the neighborhood and an individuality to each home. Most of the homes are between 35 and 45 feet from the street. 1305 Edgewood Drive is 44 feet 4 inches from the street. The attached garage, a porch, is 38 feet 4 inches from the street, which is 4 feet within the allowable setback. The 2-foot variance, if approved, the 32 feet 4 1/4 inch wide garage porch, that's 20 3/4 inches for the garage and 12 feet 1 inch for the porch, would be 32 feet from the street. and the total variance area would be 64.7 square feet. We believe this would not significantly change, be a significant change to the immediate environment, as there is substantial open space due to our 34 foot, 6-inch wide open area between 1305 Edgewood, 1317 Edgewood, and our 44 4-inch distance from our house, from the Edgewood curb, and our corner location, which is 36 feet distance from the curb of Green Hill. From our own family experience and education, we believe that there are several important keys to successful aging in place. First is the elimination of stairs. With the addition of first floor master bedroom suite, the need to climb stairs to the second floor would be, and bedroom and bath would be eliminated. The second is the reduced risk of falls. In addition, the addition of a two-car garage allows for indoor access to vehicles, reducing the risk of falling on the driveway. Some years ago, Karen fell on the driveway. Result: my wife doesn't want me to tell you she fell on the driveway and broke her arm, so I won't tell you that. however, as a person ages, their sense of balance deteriorates, making falls likely. And in addition, the body ages, is more prone to severe injury resulting from falls. The two-car garage reduces the need to be on the driveway in inclement weather, reducing the risk of falls. The third key is home accessibility. The two-car garage would create a space for accommodation in the event of compromised mobility. The ability to install appropriate accommodations or utilize specialized vehicles is simply not possible in our current one-car garage. Finally, the two-car garage would provide sheltered parking for caregivers, either professionals or family members, for in-home care. After unsuccessfully searching for a new home throughout most of 2019, we decided to remain in our current home and modify it to suit our future needs. We highly value the friends and acquaintances we have forged over the years in our neighborhood and hope to continue those relationships. Several builders and architects were interviewed before selecting Allison Ong Schreffler as the architect in January of 2020. After 5 months of design work and review of several alternative designs, this proposal design was selected as it is regarded as the most efficient to accomplish our project objectives while maintaining the essential character of our home. Our options were limited due to underground utilities, existing barriers on our property, and other setback requirements. The alternatives included relocating the garage to a different location adjacent to the house. Several alternatives for a two-car garage were explored and rejected due to the existing barriers. These alternatives would add cost and complexity, and there's no location that is as accessible to the main house as the current garage location. Relocating the garage would also result in an increase of 506 square feet of impervious coverage versus the 64.7 feet if the variance were approved. We could expand the existing garage 4 feet to the setback on Edgewood Drive and then 2 feet back into the family room. This would involve expanding the garage into the current family room space. The garage expansion would impinge on key access between the family room and the main house, as well as access to the basement stairway. The new less efficient access would need to be designed involving the loss of the first floor powder room, relocating interior load bearing walls, and perhaps redesigning HVAC and electrical routes to the second floor of the house. There's also a negative effect on the family room. There would be the loss of 2 feet in the width dimension and 39 square feet of living space. The existing granite fireplace, which is the centerpiece of the room, would no longer be centered, upsetting the logical design and aesthetic appeal of the room. We could have expanded the garage 4 feet within a setback. This would reduce the functionality of the garage versus the project objectives. Accessing and leaving vehicles would be difficult, particularly for an older person, and it would result in reduce the storage space to less room than our current garage. The proposed design would add 6 feet to the garage and the porch, requiring the 2 feet setback variance. The existing driveway would be modified to minimize impervious coverage while allowing street access. A stormwater management plan would be developed. the proposed garage porch expansion was physically reviewed with each, and I want to emphasize physically, each of our neighbors came over and looked at what we were doing, with each of our immediate neighbors informing them of the expansion and the need for the 2-foot variance. They have no objection to the proposed garage porch expansion and variance request. See Exhibit 5 for the neighbor letter. So I've attached 4 neighbor letters to that, to this justification. While the proposed design requires a 2-foot setback variance, we prefer it because it's efficient layout, minimal disruption to our home. We believe that the requested 2-foot variance is the minimum distance needed to have a truly functional 2-car garage. We believe it is by far the most beneficial to us, our neighborhood, and the township. For these reasons, we are requesting the approval of the 2-foot setback variance. Questions? Why don't we go back to the application? I just want to review. I want to review about our lot. Okay, number 6, the hardship part of this. This is a corner lot, which has a front yard setback requirement on both streets, in addition to the location of that fire hydrant. So it's relatively a tight lot for what we want to do. The lot width averages 107.5 feet, 95 feet on Edgewood as compared to 125 feet currently required. The lot depth at 137 and a half feet is 125 feet on Green Hill as compared with the current 150 feet required. Our sewer line is adjacent to the home on the left side, which makes it very difficult to build anything on the left side of our house. Also, if you look at our floor plan, that where the garage is a key access point to the remainder of the house. If we could get down to the garage on this drawing, and you can see right there, we enter the garage and then make an immediate left-hand turn to enter the house. We don't have really any room to enter our house if we have to expand the garage back into the family room, and we'd have to create that, and that begins to bump into the bathroom and the kitchen and makes it a lot more difficult and costly. So that's why we're asking for this. Are there any questions?
I just have one question for you.
So
I just want to be clear on the dimensional amount you're asking for. You've talked about a 25-foot setback, and this is probably where I'll need David or Chuck to weigh in as well. So was this a subdivision that was built under a 25-foot setback? Is that why you're talking about 25? Is that in the recorded plans?
Yes, I think David could clarify that better than I could, but this was built in 1972.
As opposed to right now, your zone requires a 30-foot setback. So right. I just want to be clear on what we're approving to make sure, you know, if we approve this, that we're giving you what you really need. So. Mm-hmm. David, do you want
to talk? Sorry, I was on mute. Yes, if looking at our zoning ordinance at section 225-206.g.2, which I'm pulling up now. Sorry, I should have had this queued ready to go.
I'm just asking, has someone verified that I'm familiar with that exception. Has someone in the township verified that on the record plans?
Yes, it is a recorded plan as part of a appropriate subdivision that has the more than 4 lots, which shows that the 25-foot setback is what was planned in the subdivision for the front yard.
Okay. Yeah, that's all I need to know. Okay, thank you. All right, other questions from other board members?
I'm okay, thank you.
Good.
Okay.
Nice all job. Right, well,
I don't have any questions. I'm good.
Okay. Well, thank you for your presentation.
Okay. And your
information provided. Again, the board has 45 days to consider your application and issue a ruling. And again, if you're aggrieved by that decision, then you have I forget the exact number of days, but you'll have an opportunity to appeal that.
Okay.
Could I just speak for one moment, sir?
You sure can.
My name is Karen. On Saturday of this week, we will be married 50 years. I am the person that wants to stay in this house. My husband is the person who did all the looking for other houses, but I have so many memories of our kids growing up here playing ball in the backyard with the neighbors. I just can't see us moving to a newer, bigger house or anything like that. I just love where we are. Our kids come home, they remember what they were. That's really the reason that he wants to keep me happy. That's why we're asking for this.
All right. I didn't mean to cut you short there. I'm sorry.
I said plenty. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Is there any members of the public here for this case?
No, there's not.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you again for your presentation.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, so we'll move on to our last item of new business, which is hearing in the case of Wayne Ford and Don Carpenter, case 2020-11. And who do we have here for this case?
Sorry to hear
you. Mr. Ford?
Yes.
Can you hear us?
Yes. Are both of you going to be testifying? And are there any other people testifying on your behalf?
Yes, we have our neighbor Dottie Bell, and she's right here with us.
Oh, okay.
And we also have Jim Spade is going to be, I guess, presenting our case.
Okay, great.
And, we have the previous owner, Steve Allen, to provide some testimony, and I believe the surveyor, Steve, not sure about his last name, I think he's going to be testifying as well.
That's an accurate list, Wayne.
Okay.
Okay, could we just get the name of the woman with you there?
Yes, I'm sorry. This is our next door neighbor, Dottie Bell. And her husband is Stan Bell. He's 90 years old, and Dottie didn't, you know, really, he's not really, I guess, able to, you know, walk from over there to here.
So. Oh, no, that's fine. I just, because her name is not showing up on the Zoom, I wanted to make sure that we have her name for the court reporter.
Okay. I got you. Dorothy Bell. It's
okay,
Dorothy
great. Bell. Well, so we have five of you, I guess we need to swear in. So if you'd all please raise your right hand and please, do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes. I do.
I do.
All right, so you indicated that Mr. Spade is going to be presenting on your behalf.
I'm yes. James F. Spade from JSDC Law Offices in Hershey. I'm here to represent the applicants. Thanks for the opportunity. And I'd like to start by calling Stephen L. Weibel first, if that's okay with the board.
That's fine. You can proceed as you wish.
Are you there, Steve?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. All right. Would you state your name for the record?
My name is Stephen L. Weibel.
Where do you reside, Steve?
1213 East Dutch Corner Road, McConnellsburg, PA.
What's your occupation?
Professional land surveyor.
In Pennsylvania?
Yes, sir.
Who is your employer?
A to Z Land Consulting Services.
Okay. Do you have occasion to perform a survey of the Ford and Carpenter property at 1605 Landvater Road in Derry Township, Dauphin County, Pennsylvania?
Yes, sir.
And this was an actual boundary survey. You didn't just draw a plat.
That's correct.
Okay. And when you did that, you also located the major improvements. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Including the detached garage.
Correct.
So you were aware that the attached garage had to be located carefully with respect to the adjoining boundary line with the Bell property.
Yes, we were told there could be a possible problem there.
Okay. You prepared a plat of your survey?
Yes.
That was submitted with the application. Can we put it up? All right, Steve, does this look familiar to you?
It sure does.
Okay. Let's see. What's the date of that survey?
I signed it on 7/27 of this year.
So that's the date that you certified it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And this was done under job number 20-109?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I want to just talk briefly about the location of the garage. Basically, is it accurately shown on the plat?
Yes.
Now, is the location based on the foundation footprint?
Yes.
Okay. And I can see it on the plat, so you were aware at the time that the side yard requirement there was 12 feet?
At the time we did the plat, yes.
Correct. So you're showing at the northernmost corner against the boundary, you're showing 11.35 feet. At the southernmost corner, you're showing 10.93 feet. So that means there's an encroachment into the setback at both points.
That's correct.
Okay. So the amount of the encroachment at the northern corner would be 1.35 feet. Is that correct?
No, it's the amount of the encroachment is 0.65.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I agree with you. And the amount of the encroachment at the southernmost corner?
1.07.
Okay. I don't have any further questions for Mr. Weibel. Perhaps members of the board do. I'd just like to request that, you know, the survey be made part of the record of this proceeding.
Okay, so noted. Any question from the board members for Mr. Wibble? Okay,
no.
Go ahead and proceed then, please.
Okay, thank you. Next, I'd like to call Dorothy G. Bell. I think she's there with you, right, Steve?
It's there with Dawn and I.
All right, Dorothy, as you heard, I'm Jim Spade, and we talked on the phone. I'll just run through some questions with you if that's okay.
That's fine.
Would you state your full name for the record?
Dorothy Grace Bell.
Where do you reside, Dorothy?
At 1593 Landvater Road, Hummelstown, Pennsylvania, 17036.
Where is that in relation to the applicant's home?
They're just to the west of us a few, maybe.
So you're the immediate adjoining property owner?
Yes.
Okay. How long have you owned and resided at your property?
We built our home in 1962.
Okay. Did you review the variance application that's been filed with the board with Wayne?
Yes.
Okay. And I think you heard our discussion about the survey. So obviously the subject of the application is the garage. And the common boundary that it's too close to based on the building setback is your boundary, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Right now, the nearest corner of the garage to the nearest corner of your home, do you have an idea of what that approximate distance is?
I would say it's maybe between 60 and 70 feet.
Okay. I'd say about the distance from the pitcher's mound to home plate. That's what I would have guessed. Okay. Did you review the survey with Wayne?
Yes.
Okay. And you understand that the garage now, where it is in violation of the side yard requirement. All of it is supposed to be 12 feet away from the line or the boundary. And one corner is only 11.35 feet. The other corner is only 10.93 feet. So, you know, and the reason we're here is trying to get a variance so those encroachments into the side yard can stay in place. Do you recall when the garage was built, Dottie? If it's okay, I'll call you Dottie.
That's fine. Everybody calls me Dottie. Okay. I don't know. I would say 2016, maybe early 2017.
Okay. Do you know who built it?
Do I know who built it?
Well, I should say, do you know who owned the property when it was built?
Yes, it was Steve and Amy Allen.
Okay. So they were your neighbors before Wayne and Dawn?
Yes, they were.
Okay. At the time it was built, did you have any objection to the location?
No, I questioned when they were laying it out where how close it was to our property.
Okay. At the present time, do you want the applicant to have to move the garage or take it down?
Absolutely not.
Okay. And you realize that, you know, if you get along, I think you do, with Wayne and Dawn, they could sell their property and you could have a new neighbor that owns that garage that's too close to the boundary line. And, you know, they will have the same right because the variance goes with the property.
Pardon?
Well, you know, you could get new neighbors over there where Wayne and Dawn own the property, and the new neighbors would have the same right if Wayne and Dawn get this variance from the requirement to keep the garage where it is. They wouldn't have to move it.
That's fine.
Okay. And you understand if you sell your own property, the new owners would in effect be stuck with the variance and they wouldn't be able to make the neighbors move the garage because it violated the zoning ordinance.
Well, that's fine. I mean, if they buy it under those conditions, fine.
Okay. From your point of view, then, 11 feet or so from the boundary line is about the same as 12. Is that an accurate statement?
Pardon?
From the way you look at it, it will say it's 11 feet from the boundary line. That's just about the same as 12. Correct me if you don't agree.
No, it's fine. Yes.
All right. Does the garage being within the setback at its current location have any negative impact on the use of your property?
No.
Does it have any negative impact on the occupancy of your property?
No.
Does it have a negative impact on your ability to improve your property in the future?
No.
Okay. Do you enjoy your property less because the garage is there?
Not really.
I knew you were going to laugh at me, but do you feel that it impacts the value of your property in any way?
No. In fact, Dwayne and Dawn have really done a good job in bringing the property up to standards very well. I mean, they've done a wonderful job. So it's an improvement, really, the whole property.
Okay, we talked about your property. Do you feel that the garage being where it is has a negative impact on the neighborhood?
Oh, definitely not.
Is the garage very visible from any properties other than yours?
Maybe to the east of us, but that home is up on top of the hill, so it's not close.
Okay. So you could see it if you were looking for it.
Pardon?
You could see the garage if you went looking for it.
If you went looking for it, yes.
Okay. All right. Now, you don't own your property in your own name alone, correct?
No, it's my husband and I.
Okay. And his name is?
His Stanley H. Bell.
Okay. So you own it together. Did you discuss this with Stanley at all?
Oh, definitely, yes.
Okay. Did he voice any objections to the garage staying where it is?
No, he's in full agreement.
Okay. Would you like to say why Stanley isn't here with you?
Well, he's 90 years old and he has health issues. He's had a few strokes and quadruple bypass, and he just is not that active. So he kind of lets things up to me. Okay. And that's fine. We've been married for 68 years.
Okay. So it would have been difficult for him to testify also.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, it would. I mean, at this time.
I don't have any further questions for Mrs. Bell. Perhaps some of the board members do.
I don't have any questions. Any other board members?
Nope.
Go on, Mr. Spade.
Okay. Thanks. Well, and is it okay if Dottie goes over to be with Stanley at this point? He's her. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony.
Whenever you like. You're welcome to stay too.
All right. The applicant would like to call Steve Allen next.
Okay, you're fine.
Steve's still here. Would you state your name for the record, please?
Yes, Stephen Ray Allen.
Where do you reside?
I reside at 1317 Paxton Church Road, Harrisburg.
Okay.
17110.
What is your occupation?
I'm a trauma surgeon.
Okay. Do you work in the township?
I do. I work at Penn State Hershey.
Okay. Do you know the applicants?
I do. I know Don from work, and I've spoken to Wayne, but never met personally.
Okay. Did you have also a transactional connection with the applicants?
Yes.
And that's because you sold them the property, right?
That's correct.
And when would that have been?
What was that? August of 18, 19.
Okay. Did you review the application we sent you, including the photos and the survey?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Are you the property owner who built the garage?
Yes, I am.
Okay. When did you build the garage?
We initiated the build of the garage. We signed the contract in January of 17. I believe they started the build in February or March of that same year.
Okay. If you don't mind saying roughly, what did the garage cost you to build?
It was a little over 17,000, almost 18,000 for the structure itself.
Okay. Did you have additional expenses for utility connections and driveway and things like that?
Yes, sir. Sure did.
And the total would have been about?
I think a total was probably 22,000 with all that.
Okay. Who built the garage for you?
We used a company by the name of Lloydsville Structures.
All right. Did you have a written contract with Loysville Structures?
Yes, we did.
Do you still have a copy of that contract?
No, I sure don't.
Okay. You searched for it?
Up and down. Okay. Let me tell you.
Did the applicants ask you to contact your contractor and get some information?
Yes, they did.
What happened?
In terms of why they contacted me?
Well, no, what happened when you tried to contact the contractor?
Oh, when I tried, well, they're out of business. I actually had so I went to their website to confirm that I had the correct phone number. So the gentleman we dealt with, his name was Levi Fisher. His phone had been disconnected. I had also worked with his brother, who apparently owned the company, Elmer Fisher. His phone had been disconnected. Went to the website, and the website is still there, but it's defunct. It's clearly not been updated. And then I went on to the Better Business Bureau, and they have been, apparently by the comments that I've seen, have filed bankruptcy and no longer exist. Okay. So
after that thorough search, you got no real information.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Do you remember if the contract said anything about building permits?
Yes, it did.
Who was to obtain the building permits?
Loysville Structures.
Okay. At any point before or during the job, did Loysville tell you that they got the permits?
No, they did not.
Okay. So you assume they did, you just didn't ask.
I didn't know that. Yeah, I mean, it was written on the contract. Kind of like I assumed that I'm an expert at what I do and I would do what I need to do to make sure everything was taken care of. I assumed that that would be done, especially when it was written into the contract.
From your discussions with the contractor, did they understand that there were some township zoning ordinance requirements to comply with?
Yes, sir. They did understand that.
Particularly as to location of the structure?
That's correct.
Okay. Do you remember who did the final sighting of the building?
Levi Rod. Fisher did. Yeah, okay. Levi. Yeah.
Did they stake it out? Did they measure? What do you remember about that?
So we walked. So the property is incredibly uneven. So there is a very discreet spot on the property, really the only spot on the property that structure could go. Because you're limited by the sand mound on the backside. You're limited by the septic tanks that lead to the sand mound and then the unevenness throughout. So we walked it and I said, I had done some research on terms of the setback, and I confirmed with him what the setback would be from the side boundary. And Levi said 12 feet. And at that point, we walked to the front of the property. So if you're on LandVader looking up at the property, on the front side, on the front right of the property, there's a concrete post with a medallion marking the front part of the property. And then straight back, there was a stake with a pink flag on it. And I explained to him that was the property line. And from there, we walked to where the garage was proposed, and he took spray paint and with the pink spray paint and marked the offset of 12 feet.
Do you know for certain that they put the building where they had marked on the ground?
I guess I don't know for certain, but I would hope that they did what they were supposed to do.
Well, is it correct that they were responsible from that point forward for locating the building correctly?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. You mentioned some paving that you added to the project. What was the purpose of that?
Yes, sir. So probably 10 feet from the previous paved line to the garage was unpaved at that point. So there was basically a 10-foot distance between the pavement and the new garage. And we just connected connected the garage to the pavement.
So that was really the only driveway access and you were just extending it?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Do you remember when the construction was finished, roughly?
It was several months. It was no earlier than June. It might have been into July. I have our last check, or at least I have a check to them for $4,000 dated June 8th. And I believe there was one more check beyond that. And that was waiting for the gutters to be hung.
Okay. So you were, when the job was over, were you happy with the construction generally?
Yes, I was.
Okay. Were you aware of any non-complying conditions as far as township ordinances at the end of the job?
No, I did not. I was not aware.
When did you first become aware of any problem regarding the location of the garage?
A few months ago when Wayne emailed me with the concern.
Okay. When you sold the property to Wayne Ford and Dawn Carpenter, well, you and Amy, I believe, is your wife, correct?
That's correct. Yep.
Sold the property in, I think you said, August, September of 2019. Were you aware of any setback violations by the garage at that time?
No.
Okay. All right. All right. I don't have any further questions for Dr. Allen. Perhaps members of the board do.
Any board members? I don't have any questions for you.
I don't have any questions.
I'm okay. Thank you.
Steve, before we let you go, is there anything you'd like to add?
No, incredibly frustrating. I thought we did due diligence in terms of hiring a reputable company and I'm sorry we're here. So
okay. Understood.
Appreciate you guys listening.
Anything else?
No, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, should we move on to the next witness?
Please.
The applicant would like to call Wayne Ford.
Yep, that's me, sorry.
Okay. All right. Mr. Ford, would you state your full name for the record?
Yeah, Wayne Andrew Ford.
Okay, where do you live?
It's 1605 Landvater Road, Hummelstown, Pennsylvania 17036.
Okay. So you're the owner of the 1605 property?
Yes, with my wife, Dawn.
Okay. You're the applicant in this application, in this proceeding, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Are you here to try to obtain a dimensional variance?
Yes.
From what type of requirement of the applicable zoning ordinance?
Just a second, I got to refer to my note.
Oh, you don't have to. I'm not asking for the section.
Oh, I'm just a setback. I'm sorry, a setback requirement.
Okay, for the garage.
Side setback.
Okay. You've reviewed the survey, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know how much of a variance you need?
As described in terms of, a foot on the one corner and about 8 inches on the other corner of the building.
Okay, so based on the survey, if you agree, on the northern corner, it's 0.65 feet or foot, and on the southern corner, it's 1.07 feet.
Yes.
Okay. Did you run any numbers regarding the percentage violation that existed?
Yes. I wrote this down. So on the northeast corner, it's 5.42%, And on the southeast corner, it's 8.9%.
Okay. So what we're talking about is the relationship between the amount of the encroachment into the setback and the full setback of 12 feet.
Yes.
Okay. And you want the variance just to keep the garage where it is?
Yes. I mean, it was, you know, stick built on a footer, concrete footer, cement slab and block. So it's, you know, it's kind of not practical to move it.
Okay. You don't want to expand it. You don't want to move it any closer to Dottie's property, right?
No.
Okay. How did you learn you had a problem with the setback?
Well, when Dawn and I moved here, we kind of, you know, as Steve said, you know, noted that the property is very uneven, unlevel. The grade is constantly changing slopes. So we thought we would try to put a patio off of the existing deck just to try to expand, you know, our usable area of enjoyment in the back of the house. So we applied, we applied for a permit. Well, actually, I called Mr. Habig and asked if a patio required a permit, and he told me yes. And so then I, you know, dug into and looked into the zoning requirements and application, filled out an application for a permit for a patio on the, off the back of the deck.
Okay. So you started with a zoning permit to expand the patio.
Yeah, or yeah, to install a patio. Yeah.
Okay. What was the end result of your application for permit?
Oh, on the end of at the end of May in 2020, Chuck Emmerich called me and left a message. I returned his call and informed me that the detached garage, there were no existing permits for the detached garage and at that time. So
there was no zoning permit for it.
Right, which at that time I didn't understand the difference between a zoning permit and a building permit at all. So,
okay. Was there an occupancy permit?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. Did Mr. Emmerich also tell you that erection of the garage caused a violation of the stormwater management plan?
Yes, he informed me at that time that the township thought the detached garage caused a violation of the stormwater drain management that was allowed. We were in excess.
And you've obviously read Mr. Emmerich's enforcement notice.
Yes, I have.
It's part of the board's available records for this proceeding. Did Mr. Emmerich mention the side setback and the garage?
Yes, that was one of the concerns, is that whether or not we met the side setback requirement of 12 feet based on the zoning permit application for the patio.
And just looking at it, he thought you might.
Yes, looking at that, looking at the, you know, yes.
So initially, why did you obtain this survey?
Well, at the time of the phone call, Mr. Emmerich suggested that we might want to obtain legal counsel. And, you know, he questioned me about the side setback, and obviously I'm not a surveyor. So after a few days to think about that, we obtained legal counsel, and legal counsel suggested, or actually was very adamant, that we needed to perform a survey and locate the building on the property.
Okay.
So that's what we did.
Wasn't it also made clear by the township staff that in order to file a zoning permit application to fix this, you had to get a survey and show where the building actually was?
Yeah. I mean, well, I don't think Mr. Emmerich said I had to get a survey, but he needed me to locate the building on the property. And I mean, there's no other way to do that.
Correct. Yeah, your application needed to accurately locate the building, right?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry for jumping ahead.
That's okay.
All right. Who lives in the property on the east side of your property?
Stanley and Dorothy Bell.
Okay. Have you received any objections from them regarding the garage location?
No, they've been very supportive.
Okay. Did you take some photographs of the property and the site in question, Steve? Or Wayne, I'm sorry.
Yes, I did.
Could we put the photos up? And Wayne, if you can, I'll let you alone if you just want to go through them one at a time and briefly explain what they show.
Okay, so photograph A shows the, you know, as best it can, the severe slope of the property. And you can see the house is located all the way to the right of the picture. And of course, the detached garage is located back in the corner behind it. And as Steve said, there was really no other place on the property. There's no other place on the property to locate a detached garage, I would imagine, without excessive cost and construction.
Okay. How about this?
And this is a picture of the detached garage. And, you know, it makes sense, obviously, to put it in this location. You can see the attached garage to the left. And I mean, you know, obviously, as a buyer, when you're viewing all this, there's nothing here that makes you think that anything done was done without a permit. And you can see my truck is parked to the right of the garage there. It is entirely on our property. And then to the left of the garage, yeah, that second, there you go, next photo. You can see in photo C, the three covers for our septic tanks. So that's what causes the garage to be squeezed, you know, to the, as far as you can put it, to the east side of the property. I don't think that, I'm assuming they did not want to try to build on top of the septic tanks. And of course, those are the covers. So I know the septic tanks do, you know, they're obviously closer to the garage than what it shows. And you can also see the severe slope in the backyard still, how it slopes, you know, to the fence, and then, you know, even more severely after the fence to the next property. It's a very steep grade. And as just another photo, I'm not sure. You can also see we kind of have a tight clearance between the house and the garage where it's setting. It's setting that far forward because if you start going any further back on the property, you start running into the sand septic mound, the sand mound. And once again, that's just a good picture of the covers. And then the next photo, you can see there's a cement medallion there. That actually marks the edge of our property line. I think I did that after the survey. You know, so you can see the my truck is obviously parked, you know, entirely on our property. And you can also see, well, I mean, you really can't see, but Stan and Dottie's house, I paced it off and I got 70 feet from the southeastern corner of the detached garage to their property, to their house was 70 feet. You know, I'm going to go plus or minus a couple of feet there. So, and just another view, the juniper trees, they are just inside the property line, or just inside Stan and Dottie's property line. And this is a view of the detached garage from the corner of Stan and Dottie Bell's house. And just another photo of the same. And then this is a photo from the corner of the detached garage to Stan and Dottie Bell's house.
All right. Wayne, why do you think the garage is located generally where it is?
Because, I mean, I know an overhead view doesn't really do it justice, but there is really not a lot of level grade. My understanding is they brought in a lot of fill just to get it leveled off to put the house in there. And so when you you know, if you wanted to build a detached garage, it's the only reasonable level spot on the property. And if you look at the photos good, you can even see they dug into the bank a little bit to level that.
Okay. So there's the grade. Is that coupled with the location of the sewage system?
Yes. I mean, the sewage system squeezes it on the west, the sand mound squeezes it on the north, and the Bell's property squeezes it on the east.
All right. And it's also coupled with the driveway access location?
Yes. And even with the all the macadam that is, you know, laid, and you can see there, it is still somewhat difficult to maneuver vehicles in and out of our attached garage as well as the detached garage.
Okay. As far as the lot itself, is it wider at the road frontage or wider at the location of the house and garage?
It's wider at the front of the property. And then you can see our property, it narrows, you know, before you even get behind the house, we narrow to about, I know the back of the property is 115 feet, but it gets, you know, it narrows a whole lot there even before you get behind the house. You can see how the lot shape is not regular, I guess. It's abnormal or irregularly shaped.
Right. Okay. And yes, you know, I'll say it would have been nice if it was 12 feet over instead of 11 feet over. But basically right now, you have an existing garage and you really can't maintain it without the variance, can you?
No, it doesn't seem reasonable that we're going to be able to maintain it without the variance.
Yeah. Maintain it in place.
Maintain it in place. Yes. Without the variance.
Okay. All right. You think the garage is a reasonable use and improvement of the property?
Absolutely. I would say it was the reasonable use and improvement of the property that help my wife and I make our final decision in purchasing the property.
Okay. Steve, did you and Dawn establish the lot boundaries?
No.
In other words, you didn't create, as they say, the lot.
No.
Okay. And again, I'll ask you didn't construct the garage, right?
No.
Were you responsible for siting the house on the lot?
No.
Were you responsible for siting the driveway access to the property?
No.
Okay. Have you expanded the garage?
No.
Okay. I'm going to ask you to describe generally the neighborhood that you live in.
It's a rural Pennsylvania, neighborhood that's been developed from farmland. The north side of Landvater Road, generally speaking, is a whole series of lots that used to be the Landvater Farm. Dottie and Stan Bell bought from the Landvaters as well, their 1 acre lot.
Okay.
And the property to our west is currently owned by the daughter of the Mr. Landvater, who lives just west of his daughter.
Okay. So it's just frontage lots that were sold off by the agricultural owner over many years.
Yes, I believe so. I believe that'd be an accurate description.
You know, as opposed to a modern subdivision where it's all planned at once.
Right. No, it was not a modern subdivision, which is one of the things we liked about the property.
Yeah. So the lots aren't the same size.
Right.
Are they generally good sized?
Yeah, yes.
Do the homes sit varying distances back from the public road?
Yes, they do.
Okay. All right, if the garage is allowed to stay in place, you know, based on a variance, is that going to alter the essential character of the neighborhood?
Not in my opinion.
Is it going to alter the essential character of the whole zoning district?
Not in my opinion, no.
And the zoning district is conservation, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Again, if it stays in place, is it going to substantially or permanently affect the use or development of any adjacent property?
No.
And that's not directly adjoining, not just Dottie's, but any close properties.
Yeah. Yes, correct. I could not see that.
Okay. Are there many property owners that can even see the garage from their home?
Stan and Dottie Bell, obviously, and the property to the east, as Dottie mentioned, I believe that they can see the garage through the trees. It's broken, but I'm sure they could probably see it.
You could see it if you went looking for it.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't stand out. Okay. As, you know, nobody's ever come to complain about it.
If the variance is granted and the garage stays where it is, do you think that'll be detrimental to the public welfare?
No.
I mean, in any possible way?
No.
Okay. All right, do you have anything to add to your testimony or anything you want to say as the applicant?
No.
You had enough questions, right?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry about that.
It's okay.
Does the board have any questions for Wayne?
I don't.
I do not.
Hey, Wayne.
Yes.
To the in that picture B.
Yes.
Is there macadam to the right of you of the garage? I couldn't tell. Where your truck was parked? I'm sorry.
No, where the truck is parked is not macadam.
Okay.
That's just, I don't know.
That's dead, grass there?
Yeah, grass and some stone.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not, the macadam ends at the beginning of the detached garage.
Okay, very good.
I have a question. Staff may need to weigh in on this, but I'm not sure who mentioned it, whether it was Mr. Ford or maybe Mr. Allen. Stormwater management, I heard him mention the stormwater management, but I did not see it in the violation letter that was issued. What was constructed, including the paving that was added, would that have required a stormwater management
plan? If that question is for me, yes, in my opinion, it does require stormwater management.
Yes, it will.
Okay, thank you.
That was Chuck.
Yes, thank you. Okay, any other questions from the board members?
No.
Could I try one more?
Excuse me?
Could I ask one more, please?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. Wayne, I just wanted to clarify. You got an enforcement notice and you got a violation notice. Correct me if I'm wrong, both dated about the same date from Mr. Emmerich. And wasn't one of those notices very specific about just the fact that the garage got built with no adjustment of the existing stormwater plan? Didn't he tell you that was also a violation?
Yes. Okay. That and occupancy.
Okay. Now, if you get to keep the garage where it is, what are you going to do about stormwater management?
And mid-July, we had a civil engineer that, you know, what he does is stormwater management. He was out at the property the same day as a surveyor. He took, you know, measurements and we discussed, how to install stormwater management if the detached garage was allowed to stay. And since then we haven't done a lot with the stormwater management, and I did have an email with Chuck, you know, saying, hey, it doesn't make sense for us to proceed on design of stormwater management until we know whether or not we're going to be able to keep the detached garage. And I mean, he agreed with me via email.
But you will do that if you get to keep the garage.
That's what we're fired up, ready to go. I mean,
I hope that covers it.
And just, you know, I would like to add that the lot is big enough to accommodate more impervious coverage. I believe in the zoning ordinance, we're allowed to go to 15%. We're about 9.9 right now, if my memory doesn't fail me.
Did your engineer tell you he would be able to deal with the existing improvements on the existing lot and satisfy the stormwater requirements?
Yes, he believes we have a good plan.
Nothing more.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you then. Unless there's, is there anybody from the public other than those that have already spoken?
Mr. Seidel, we were going to let Dawn speak briefly, if that's okay.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Didn't realize that you had further comments. Right. Go ahead, please.
I don't think this will take too long. We're calling Dawn Carpenter. Would you state your name for the record?
Mm-hmm. Dawn Louise Carpenter.
Where do you live?
1605 Landvater Road, Hummelstown.
Are you also part of the applicant?
Yes.
And you're actually one of the owners of the property in question, right?
Correct.
Okay. Did you listen carefully to Wayne Ford's testimony?
Yes.
Do you agree with him?
Yes.
I mean, basically, if I asked, tortured you with the same questions, would your answers be substantially the same?
Very much so, yes.
Okay. Is there any particular in which you disagree and you'd like to explain or add anything?
No, I think he's done a great job explaining it.
Okay. Nothing further.
Okay. Are you done, Mr. Spade, then?
Yeah, I have a couple brief, you know, comments I want to make, but, you know, I'll wait until you tell me it's the appropriate time.
Unless there's any questions from the board members right now. Any questions from the board members?
No.
No. Then go ahead and please wrap up, Mr. Spade.
Thank you. I just want to suggest that, you know, it can be a little strained, but I think the standard requirements for dimensional variance have been satisfied by the evidence that's been put forth. The same ones are in the ordinance, in the application form, and in the MPC, as you guys well know. However, if you have doubts about any of them, I suggest this is actually an appropriate instance for a grant of a de minimis variance. That's a little foggy and it's developing, but I think in a case like this, they tend to look at the percentage of the standard that's being violated. And you heard Wayne's testimony. He testified that at one end of the garage, it would be a 5.4% violation. At the other end, an 8.9% violation. If you average those, it's 7.15%. That's not a whole heck of a lot, particularly when the neighbor next door is perfectly fine with it. You know, the applicant is innocent. Frankly, I think the applicant's seller of the property was innocent. Yeah, I mean, nobody went out and discovered this problem accurately, but it was reasonable to assume the contractor did what the contractor was supposed to do. It may have been nothing more than the guy they hired with the backhoe couldn't see straight. And once those footers are in, that's where the building's gonna go. I don't think strict enforcement of the ordinance here is necessary to protect any policy or to protect any adjoining property owners or to preserve the neighborhood. We're not asking you to change the yard requirement. We're just asking for a variance right at the location of the garage. You know, the rest of it's going to stay 12 feet like it's supposed to be. And again, I'll go back to the unconditional consent you got from the only person being Dottie, Dottie Bell, who's directly affected by this. You heard Steve say that they will, once they, if they get the variance, once they have that, then they know they can get it. They already applied for a zoning permit, but that'll allow them to get the zoning permit. The occupancy permit's going to follow from that. And, you know, then they'll spend their money with their engineer to finish the stormwater management concept and come up with a revised plan for the additional impervious area that can be submitted to the township for approval. So that's basically all I have to say, and I know that's enough, so I'll cut it off here. And I just want to thank you very much for your time and your patience.
Okay, thank you. Are there any members of the public that wish to speak on this this case? David, you had mentioned someone earlier that was...
Yeah, they had left the meeting.
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you. I just want to make sure we didn't exclude anyone from the public that wished to speak. Okay, again, as you probably heard me say already today to the other applicants, but I'll repeat it again. The board has 45 days to render a decision. And you have 30 days to appeal that if you don't like the decision, if you choose to do so. Okay.
Great.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So we'll move on here. I don't think we have any other business, but I'll just check in with any of the board members, any other business. Otherwise, I'll entertain a motion for adjournment.
So
okay.
Moved.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, we'll be retiring to executive session to deliberate. Thank you.
Thank you.